game of February.
Oh, we're just ahead of the game for
once. I love it. So last week was so fun to start off the new year, just to set some boundaries and intentions and perspective on things. But this week we thought, you know, we can't always say no. We're not always called to say no. We do say yes to some things that Jesus has called us to. So how do we love our people and God's people without losing ourselves?
Without being a doormat.
Yes. Or overextending, like we talked about last week, doing more without being asked. And just all of that, because we can allow others, when we haven't done certain things, just to take our energy and suck it out of us. And they're not doing it maliciously. It just, when we're offering, they're taking because it's what they need. And there are just a few things, I think. Okay. Simple things that we should keep in mind when we are loving on others and walking beside them and loving on them. And Jesus did all of these things.
Yeah,
he's such a great example. Shocker.
Cussing and without sinning and like all those other things.
I know, he's such a good example.
Aww.
He really is. So one of the first things is, I believe so often, and I know I fall victim to this, we always feel as if we have to have some words. Our words cannot fix things. I wish they could. And I often say that to people, like, I wish I could say or do something that would fix this for you, but I know I can't. Just our presence and being there, sometimes just sitting with someone as they cry or sitting with someone as they vent is enough. It's all we need. We just need to listen and validate.
I love that. I think it's so hard to differentiate one from the other often when we're coming at something in our own power, if that makes any sense, when we're throwing ourselves at it. And my friend Tara, I love what she says. Sometimes I'll tell her something and she just looks at me with these big eyes and she says, "We're just going to pray about that." And
that's
I think,
the best answer.
What a great response. Like, and we stop and we pray right then and there. And then she just lets me vent and talk about it. Or sometimes I throw up on her and then we pray about it. But sometimes we don't have the words. We don't have the wisdom. And so it is.
Usually we don't.
Right.
No.
Most of the time, actually.
But I think that there's a time for that. And discerning, sometimes, you know, it's that discernment of figuring out, where is this person right now? Are they ready for do they want an answer? Do they want advice? And so ask, or do they just need me to be here with them, to wallow in it for a minute, to validate that this sucks, or this would make me angry too? You know, just listening and being heard is such a gift, and it doesn't take anything away from us. We are usually the ones that want to jump in. We're uncomfortable when people are sad or angry, or we just don't want them to hurt, so we just want to fix it.
Yeah,
but often, if we could just stop and remember that our words, a lot of times, just make it worse.
Right?
So just if we could just be quiet.
And we're sorry when we make it worse with
our
words.
I'm so sorry, because I'm so guilty of that.
Me too. And like, I'll pull a good scripture out, like, oh my gosh. Here's the better part. I'm a good Christian because I say, I know this doesn't feel helpful right now, but I just want to share the scripture with you. Like, just stop. You have to start with, I know this isn't going to be helpful. Shut up.
Right.
That's for myself.
And you know what? Here's the thing. Like, later on, after you've been present and you've listened and been there for that, later on, maybe it's in a card that you write to them.
Yes, you're so good at that.
A verse, or maybe a text, or whatever. It could be in that. That might be the appropriate time. Like, I am thinking of you and praying this verse over you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not advice then. It's not trying to fix the problem. It's a follow-up. And I think that really goes into number two. We need to keep it simple when it comes to loving on people.
Mm-hmm.
Just these little small acts of kindness or activities. And, you know, they're so helpful. We can't fix the problem, usually. I mean, we just need to be there. So the card, the text, the flowers on the porch, or, hey, maybe someone is, you know, had surgery. Hey, let's do a puzzle.
Mm.
I'm not going to come over here and be your therapist because you don't need that. You just need a little distraction. Or, hey, let's get you some, let's go on a walk. It's these small things. It's not, oh, I have to come over and clean your whole house. And, you know, and I mean, I kind of like to do that thing anyway, too. I mean, I think sometimes the Lord calls us to do that for people. But it doesn't have to be this over the top emotional big display. It is those simple acts of kindness that remind someone you are loved, you are remembered, you are being prayed for.
And you know what's awesome? None of those require a theology degree. It doesn't require, you know, you to be the best Bible teacher. You don't have to have all the Bible knowledge. Like, anybody can do that. And so it's one of those things, I think, for me that feels good, because oftentimes I feel like I'm not equipped to sit with somebody and counsel them, or, you know, to give them the best advice. But I can write a card and sign my name.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think really that rolls into something else really important. You know, we don't have to just give advice. Like we talked about last week, ask if they want that. Is now the right time? And often when people first, depending on your relationship with this person, I mean, sometimes you meet with someone and it needs to be an hour process where they vent, you pray, they want advice, you move on, right?
Right.
And other times it's, they just need to vent. And then later you take a card. But you've got to be in contact with the Holy Spirit and never dismiss someone's pain. Mm-hmm. You know, it drives me crazy when people will tell me what's on their heart and what they're dealing with. And then they follow it up with, I know it could be so much worse. And so many other people have it so much worse off than, you know, than
right,
I do.
Right, or they go, I know it's a first world problem.
And like, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is where I stop and I'm like, hey, yes, it can always be worse. Have you read Job? Trust me. But it is still your present, current situation and reality, and it still sucks. It's not a competition right. of who is worse.
Right. Let's yeah. not get there.
Yeah, let no. Let's, I mean, let's acknowledge that this is a hard thing for you, and you don't have to dismiss it. So, you know, don't let them dismiss their pain, mm-hmm. and we don't need to dismiss their pain. Don't ever get caught up in that. Just offer encouragement. And remind them that you're there for them.
So I'm realizing as you're speaking, I'm sure that you didn't write this after a conversation with me. I'm just kidding.
I didn't.
But so my response a lot of times, because I'm a fixer and I'm a doer.
Me too.
My response is, okay, so what are we going to do about that?
Like, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad we acknowledged that. So let's fix this.
Let's make a plan.
Let's like, make a plan. Check a box, move on, next. And so right. that's probably not good either.
Well, I think, again, there comes a time for that.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you can't stay in that pit forever. Sometimes you do have to just wallow around in it and wrestle it out with God down in the pit. But you have to come out. Like, you don't get to stay there.
I just don't even go down the pit because I'm like, whoa, that is really far. And then I have to climb back out.
It's just so much work.
Tuck that away for later.
Right. And I think along the way, as we're going along, one of the other things is, and I struggle with this because I'm kind of an empath, which an empath is someone who feels people's emotions. Feels
Ooh,
their pain.
That would be bad.
And I have had to learn the hard way over my life that that is the way God made me. And I have to, another really good thing, set healthy boundaries in my relationships and in my heart and really stay in contact with the Lord, because it's not my job to feel their pain.
Right.
We can be empathetic
uh-huh.
and have empathy, a healthy empathy, which is an understanding of how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That is very different than taking on the emotions of that person and then they start to affect me.
Right. That's a lot. But would just never get out of bed.
It is a lot. It is heavy. Like, I can be in a restaurant and see a couple talking and I can feel the weight
uh-huh.
just by expressions and what's going on or heartache. And I have to put up a guard for that.
Sometimes I'll see that. I'll feel somebody's despair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say a quick prayer. I don't even know who they are, but I'm just going to pray for that person. God, I can feel that they're in pain. Mm-hmm. And I don't consider myself an empath. I don't know what all the other options are besides empath, but I don't think I'm an empath.
Well, I think, you know, if you are, you think you are, I think I know for me, for a long time, I didn't realize there was a difference. And I thought that I had to take on their emotions to show the empathy and to be empathetic. And that is not true.
Mm.
And I think so often, especially if we've been in the same situation as someone else and we've shared a common trauma or experience, it is a lot easier to have empathy for them because we can take ourselves back to our situation. And although it's not exactly the same, usually ever, we can go back to those emotions. But just, you don't have to take on people's emotions to show empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge learning point for me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I literally put myself in the hospital 13 years ago.
Wow.
With holding on to so much, like my body just with headaches and,
oh, yeah.
I mean, just like my body just shut down.
Yeah. It was like, enough is enough.
Like I can't survive this. And it's not my job. It's God's job. But I just didn't understand myself enough at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love people so much.
Can I just pause there for a second? Y'all, she said that was 13 years ago that she didn't have good boundaries, that she didn't. And so
maybe it was 14.
To think how far she's come. So for many of us, we'll see somebody like Allison and we have them high on this pedestal and it will never be like that. But it was a process for her.
Ooh.
It wasn't just, I read my Bible every day, so that's why I'm here. You know, it was a self-reflection process. It was time with God. It was setting the boundaries. It is a lot of work, y'all.
It's a lot of learning the hard way for me.
Yeah, we were saying last week, but it's so worth it.
It's so worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. And I know you feel that same way too.
Oh yeah.
Like you look back and you would, the sucky times, for lack of a classier word today, those terrible times and those transitions, and you just wouldn't give them up because that's where you grew the most, where you learned the most, where you become more reliant on the Lord with every single step, and where He, and this is another thing, this is like number five, setting boundaries. He taught me, and through other mentors and people that He put in my life, that it's not a mean, selfish, uncaring thing to set boundaries with people emotionally, physically, spiritually, because we have to protect ourselves for our people and the things He's called us to. And we can still love on people and be there for people and love on them and help them grow and encourage them to heal spiritually and emotionally and physically without completely losing ourselves.
I love that because, you know, I'm huge on boundaries. And believe it or not, I've never read a book on boundaries, but I know lots of people that have encouraged me over the years. But also, you know, God has just revealed them to me, the ones that I need to set and hold firm to. And I have the people in my life where if I'm a little iffy on if I'm becoming more of a, you know, a no person versus a healthy boundary, then I know those people I can go to that have the wisdom to know myself and also the situation to speak into that, like you, you know.
Right.
So I think boundaries are so important. And here's the other thing. Something that makes me so happy but is also hard is I have taught my children boundaries. We have two adult daughters and I've taught them both healthy boundaries. And sometimes their healthy boundary means they don't come to our house for something. Because it's not a healthy situation for them. We have one daughter. She doesn't like a lot of people. She wants a small, intimate setting. And so we had to change up our holidays for that. So I had her and her fiance over for dinner like 2 days before Thanksgiving because she didn't want to come for the big Thanksgiving. She wanted to do something else. And y'all, I could have went, what? You're going to ruin everything. You're not going to be here Thanksgiving. But instead, God was like, look at her setting those boundaries.
That's huge.
You have taught her these boundaries. She is setting them. She is holding what's healthy for her. You better celebrate that. And that made me so happy. Like when God was able, in my quiet time, that one we talk about, to go, look at this. She's doing it. What you should have been able to do in your 20s.
Wow.
So good.
That's huge. I mean, this really goes back to self-care, these boundaries, because what we're doing is not being selfish. What we're doing is staying focused on caring for ourselves enough so that when God places in front of us the thing that we need to do, like our children and our spouses and our ministry and the few things that He has actually called us to do, that we have the bandwidth and the patience and the energy to do those things.
I love that. And this also comes from spending time with God and figuring out where you're supposed to be right now. Because yes. No isn't always no forever. It could be not right now. And so I have a lot of not right now in my life. I homeschool. I am an executive director of a local women's ministry. I podcast with Allison. And I have my family. Like, I have two kids still in the home. So there's a lot of not right now for me. And it's really nice to know what right now is, so I can differentiate when something comes up and I have to decide.
That's right. And I think putting up those healthy boundaries, just like we talked about last week, it's important to, when you don't say yes, when you mean no. And that's what healthy boundaries are. And not being worried about finding your worth and your acceptance and people liking you through your yeses and what you're doing. And really that leads to this last one that I think is so important. Don't be afraid to encourage people to seek professional help. I know that I have recently said to a friend, a very, very close friend of mine who was in a situation, and I said, look, I have to be honest with you. You're my person. Like, you're one of my people, and I am fierce for my people. Mm-hmm. I'm just like I am for my children, that's how I am for my close friends. And so when you tell me these things, my, just gut instinct is to bow up and talk some crap and jump on that bandwagon with you and protect you. And I said, I'm not exactly sure that is the healthiest thing. And it may not always be the most godly thing, And so I don't know if I'm in a position. I'm always here for you and I will listen, but I also think it's really important that you get some professional help, because I'm not sure that I can be a neutral party in this.
Right. It's not an unbiased opinion anymore. And oh, yes.
And it was so important for me to say that. And I think my friend really appreciated it. But it was also hard to say, because you want to be there for those people. But I had to also just be really honest, like, I don't want to mess this up.
Right. Because at the end of the day, you're a really good friend of that person, but also you're accountable to God.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to hear God through all of your attachments and emotions that you have with that relationship. Right. And I'm a huge advocate for professional help. As you all know, I've been through many, many, many years of counseling, and Alice and I were just talking recently, and she, she's encouraging me, like, it's time to go back to a counselor. And I said, oh gosh, girl, I know. But here's the thing, y'all. If you're going to go to counseling, you better be ready to do the work, right? Like, be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Because I said to her, I said, I just haven't had the opportunity to make an appointment. And then I had to sit with that and go, is it because I'm avoiding it? And I had to, like, really be honest with myself and look. And it's like, no, it's because I know right now with what I have going on for this month, I don't have the capacity to do the work I need to do. And so I need to honor what's happening in my life, but also do not put that off, knowing that that is a very important thing to get me to the next whatever. I don't even know what the next whatever is. That's the beauty of it. It's kind of like a little adventure.
Yeah. And if you're feeling that way now and you're thinking the same thing, I just don't have the bandwidth this month, but next month, that's my priority. Still call today, because it's probably going to take you a month or two to get in, because everybody needs a counselor.
Okay, I'll call today. y'all, like,
pro tip.
Truth be told, you guys, we are literally living out real life in front of you.
Totally.
This is just where we're at. We spend a lot of time going, oh my gosh, this just happened. We need to talk about this, because we can't be the only ones.
Yes. It's so true, y'all. And when you feel guilty about setting these healthy boundaries and not doing everything and just being showing empathy instead of feeling all the emotions and keeping it simple instead of going all the way over the top and redecorating someone's whole house or something. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I hope you're coming over to fix that one room for me.
Just remember, because you will feel guilty when you're setting. I mean, people still in my own family make me feel like a terrible person for setting healthy boundaries, right?
Well, your family's always going to make you feel bad about it.
Yeah. I mean, and not everyone in my family, but like there's always these people that don't understand. But just remember that Jesus did all these things.
Mm-hmm.
He listened to the lady at the well.
Yeah.
And encouraged her. He was present with her. And he didn't try to fix everything. Like, he didn't give her this long, elaborate counseling session.
Just gave her a little drop of truth.
Gave her a little love, quick truth, quick love, and sent her on her way, right? He didn't dismiss her pain. He had empathy. He kept it simple. He also set amazing boundaries. Mm. He always stepped aside from his people. We think people need us. Everybody needed Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was doing way yonder better things than what we're doing, right? In our own lives. Like, he's actually healing people and raising people from the dead. Just saying. Turning water to wine, all the things. Okay? But he still just was like, okay, I'm out. Peace out. I got to go over here, reconnect with my father. And oh my gosh, we just have to look to Jesus for that example.
He
was all about the self-care because he knew that he would not have the energy and the spirit and the sustenance that he had to get that from the father, or he would not be able to go out and give it to all the people.
Right.
And he was Jesus,
right?
God in the flesh, perfect man walking in the world. If he needs it, you know we need it, sisters.
Yeah, girl.
So
preach.
Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are we going to talk about next week? Are we going to talk about maybe some rest for that weary soul?
Oh gosh, there is a great song about rest for the weary soul. So yes, that has been on my heart since October, because like I said, last year was insane. One day you'll hear about it, but reading that book, Sacred Rest, she does such a great example. When I think rest, I think I better go take a nap.
Right.
But that's just not it.
There's so much more.
Many different, so many different kinds of rest that we need that we're not even aware of. This book has opened my eyes so much. It's an easy read, but maybe, you know, we're going to share some of the different ways that you can rest, because I know we're all weary. And if you're not weary, maybe put down the Red Bull. Y'all, that's not good for you.
All right. There's a difference.
One a day is still bad for you, FYI. Whew. But we're going to talk about all the creative different ways that you can rest and you can find rest for you. Some are going to resonate with you and you're going to say, oh, that's what I'm missing. And maybe encourage you to get the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that's an important piece of this when it comes to the self-care, all these levels that we're talking about over these 3 weeks. And then we're really going to go into like putting on the armor of God, but modern day armor of God.
Yes. What is that
to go
like?
Into this year? And so that we can have his armor, because we need that to incorporate, to keep all these things and these truths set in our hearts. So anyway, we're so excited. It's so great to be back. Thank you for joining us this week. And we look forward to being with you next week on the Center of the Saints.
Yeah.